I personally am especially grateful for Ed and Ruth Rice, who were Midwest missionaries a number of years ago in London, England, and who got hold of me when I was a very young and very immature and Christian, and began to transmit to me something of their enthusiasm for the Lord and something of the vision of making disciples. And I owe to Ed Rice a tremendous personal debt concerning the way that he helped me to begin, falteringly, to build myself up in the faith. So again, for him also, and the fact that you sent him overseas, I am grateful. Well, I listened this morning with you to Bob Foster, a tremendous message, a tremendous challenge on the promises of God. And so my desire is that this short presentation this evening should be an opportunity to proclaim God's faithfulness and his graciousness in the way that he's used the navigators around the world. It'll be a factual presentation. I intend to use some overhead projector slides, and I intend to dispense quite a bit of information. I'm aware that I'm speaking to navigator staff who will know much more about many of the specific situations that I mention than I do. But I want, nevertheless, to give you some sort of general overview of our situation around the world at this time. And you have missionary friends and harvest fields for which each of us, each of you, has a particular burden. But if we can bring the whole thing together, and at the end I'd like just to share a few strategic prayer requests for our work as a whole. Also, Ray asked me this morning just to say a few words as I go along concerning our new international structure. Lorne Sanney and his dear staff letter, which was mailed last week, gave very adequate explanation of why we're moving to this new structure, but I understand that most of you have not received this. You left your homes too early, and so I'll say a few words about that also, which will fit in the context. Okay, our ministry around the world, a ministry which, as Bob emphasized this morning, is founded and fastened upon the promises of God, and a ministry which is summarized to me in many ways by the conference that we had in this room approximately 12 months ago, when we brought together, as you know, about 160 of our leaders from around the world, and we had up here on the top of the fireplace behind me those magnificent words from the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, or perhaps I should say Isaiah. I don't know. No, I'm going to, you know, I'm not a good missionary. those words from Isaiah 43, and I'll just read a portion of it. Because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not hold back. And I love that promise because one of the strands running right through it is a strong emphasis that this is God's work. It is for his glory, and it is his purpose that we are engaged in. So the work is the Lord's. Well, as you realize, ideally, what we should be doing tonight to look at the Navigator ministry is to just travel around the world and visit the Indonesian navigators and visit the navigators in every other place. That is quite impossible. Somewhat less satisfactory would be to have nationals from these various countries come up here and give their testimonies of what God has done for them. The least satisfactory thing is what you've got, namely me, and we are going to have a very brief and quick overview. And we'll start with the primary aim, which we're all familiar with and committed to. The primary aim of the navigators, to multiply spiritual laborers in every nation. And as our fundamentals of ministry sets out for us, we do this through evangelizing and establishing and equipping. The presentation tonight will be unashamedly linked to this primary aim and focused upon the navigators. Dr. Winter tomorrow will enlarge our horizons and speak more, I think, of the work of God in all its complexity and all its history, but tonight we're just going to zero in on the Navigator ministry. So, the first thing that I want to do, given that this is our primary aim, is to ask you to look at the handout, which is a three-sheet handout. Now, some of you may not have this, and if so, perhaps those of you who are sitting next to your wife could perhaps just make do with one copy and pass to others who may not have it a copy. Anyone raise their hands who needs a copy and does not have one? Okay, good. The first of the three blue sheets here is a very simple report for us on the progress that we are making towards this primary aim of multiplying laborers in every nation. First of all, given that it's the aim of the Navigators, we have a couple of statements as to where the Navigators are and who they are at this stage. And you'll see that we have nearly 1,800 of our staff now around the world of some 26 nationalities. And there they are listed. And about 340 of these staff are foreign missionaries. Americans serving overseas, Englishmen serving in Australia, Norwegians in Korea, and so forth. And of course, in addition to these 340 staff missionaries, we already have at least 30 missionary associates outside their country and serving with us and co-laboring. Our staff, incidentally, is growing at about 10% per year. The aim of the Navigators is to multiply laborers. And I just noted here that last year we had nearly 1,000 new spiritual laborers raised up through our ministries around the world. Now, of course, there are many other things that the Navigator ministry produced under God. For example, we don't keep complete statistics internationally on the number of people who come to know Jesus Christ for the first time, but those countries that do let us know on a voluntary basis, more than 10,000 people came to Christ through the direct result of the Navigator ministry last year. But in terms of our primary aim, the most significant investment that we are making is these 969 new laborers. And then our basic workforce, as you see, was just over 3,500 laborers at the end of the year. In every nation, we now minister in 553 locations. And the community ministry, contrary to various opinions that have floated around in recent years, the community ministry is growing faster than either the military or student sector and will continue to do so over the next few years, in my opinion. It's shown tremendous growth in the last 5 years particularly. We have these ministry locations in 36 countries. Now, I say at least 36 countries because I did a little census last December when the leadership team met here at the Glen. And I asked our divisional directors, what other countries have Navigator staff ministered in during the last year? Not just visited on a journey to somewhere else, but ministered in. And the answer was 21 other countries. So we have staff living in 36 and actively ministering in another 21. And 15 of these countries have sent out at least one staff missionary. Item 4 there, we have 6 countries, including the USA, that have a Navigator ministry that is strong and healthy and what I like to call, describe as established. Later in this presentation, I will explain what I mean by the word established. But you see there, Australia, Britain, the Netherlands, New Zealand, and Singapore are major strongholds as regards the ministry overseas. Okay, so that's just a progress report on our progress towards the primary aim of the Navigators. We'll not be referring to the handout now for a little while. I have a slide here now which attempts to set a context for our imperatives that you have in your hands and for the structure that we've gone to and for several other things that I want to bring out. Now, there are many ways of identifying and describing a strategy. I think we'd agreed that we need a strategy in our local ministries, we need a strategy for the Midwest Division, for the USA, and for the Navigator work as a whole. Lorne believes at the moment that there are five important elements in the global strategy that the navigators need, and these are they. First of all, the fundamentals of our ministry, which, as you know, deals with the aim and essentials of our calling. And then secondly, the strategic imperatives. That is the second blue sheet that you have in your hands and which you are very familiar with. Thirdly, we need to set some geographical priorities. This is an element in our strategy which we are not so far ahead with. This is an element which Lorne and those around him are working on during the first half of this year, 1981. And we need considerably more prayer in determining, given our limited resources and given the inexhaustible demands of the harvest fields, where should we place our precious, precious resources? We have some very significant overseas leaders, significant in terms of their ability to make a beautiful case for their particular country, a tear-stained case. And understandably, I would do the same. But we cannot supply all needs everywhere, and so we have to build this element into our strategy. And then fourthly, I think you've heard Lorne say that structure follows strategy. And so here, as we move on through, how should we be organized for the challenge of the 1980s? And I'll say a couple of things about that in a minute. And then lastly, leadership development. Our greatest resource under God is people, and we need to do a more significant and more thorough job in the training of our key staff around the world. A number of countries, a number of regions are doing this already, but we want to move faster on this. So those are the five elements in our global strategy as it matures. And just to summarize, we have the FOM, we have the strategic imperatives, we are not too far ahead yet with the geographical priorities. We have now a new international structure, and we perhaps are about halfway there in terms of significant career planning for our key leaders. Okay, so I'm going to use this as a springboard just to give this brief mention that Ray asked for of the new international structure. It's very simple and will be covered in Lorne's staff, dear staff letter when you receive it when you get home. And I just want to say a couple of things on it. I think you know that since 1974, the group around Lorne, which has helped lead the navigator work, has been called the International Leadership Team. And essentially, it's been composed of the four divisional directors who report to Lorne: Jack Mayhall, Jim Peterson, Doug Sparks, and currently Jim Downing. And so they have met twice a year here at the Glen, and a couple of staff men from international headquarters involved as well. And the definition of that team was that they were to help Lorne in the leadership of our worldwide ministries. Now, that particular structure began to show some strain in the last 2 years for various reasons. For example, there was an imbalance. Basically, the USA is half the navigator work and more than half the navigator money, and yet it had one voice on that team, Jack Mayhall, and the overseas ministries had three voices, the men I've mentioned. That was an imbalance, and there were some other reasons why we felt the time was right for a change. And we were encouraged in this by the unanimous pressure or opinion of the International Leadership Conference here a year ago. So instead of those three overseas directors that I've mentioned, the first new thing that we have decided to do is to appoint a single international or overseas director. And I'm sure that you have heard that appointment was confirmed by the leadership team in December, and the man is George Sanchez. And George is now serving as our international director. He's been a missionary for years, previously in Latin America, tremendous acquaintance and empathy with the staff around the world, and a great number of gifts to bring to that job. So, having appointed George as an international ministries director, we have abolished the international leadership team and replaced it by two things, of which the first is a smaller and more compact international executive team shown on this chart. And basically what I want you to observe about this is that there is a balance now between the U.S. ministries under Jack Mayhall with the five regions, including the Midwest, and the way we're structuring the international ministries outside the USA under George Sanchez with what will probably end up being seven regions. Now, the restructuring of the overseas navigator work will take probably 2 years at least. And there are good reasons for that. We don't want to hurry it. We have a lot of consultation to do and a lot of staff who need to give input to it. But we are moving towards, instead of having three divisions overseas, having six or seven regions. And we'll move first on this, and have already done so, in fact, in EMMA, in the EMMA division. Jim Downing will be coming home as a divisional director to the USA in August. And we have a new structure taking shape there. Now, this executive team replaces the international leadership team. It isn't a committee. It isn't a four-man presidency. It's just a team of four people who happen to be based here at Glen Eyrie who can meet together on a regular basis and achieve much better coordination and much less confrontation in the management of our international work. I think it holds tremendous promise, and I am greatly thrilled to be a part of it. I'm not going to go into my job at the moment. I don't think that that is a significant part of this presentation, but I just want to say that I love my job, and I'm going to get more of my job, and I enjoy that too. So that's the international executive team, and then the last of the three new elements, and this will take shape over the next 12 months, we are calling an International Navigator Council. This will be a wider group than the old ILT. It will be composed of all the regional directors in the world, Rejo and the other four in the States, and the six or seven whom we are appointing overseas, and we'll probably have three or four other men in that council as well. It will meet once a year in December, and it will be a concept of giving a larger group of our international leaders a voice in crucial issues, give us a broader base of information, interaction, and it will ensure organizational continuity, because this International Navigator Council, when it's set up, will, if I may say so, will monitor Lorne's performance, will hold him accountable, and will, for all of us, select his successor. We don't have a mechanism at the moment for succeeding Lorne, and we need that, so that we don't move into some sort of crisis situation. So, in summary here on the structure, there are three things. The first new thing is the appointment of a single overseas director, George Sanchez. That's already done. The second is the formation of this small international executive team. That also is accomplished, but the problem with the travel schedules that Jack and George and Lorne have is that we're not managing many significant meetings yet, and so we need to work our way into that over the next 6 months or so. And then lastly, the International Navigator Council, annually bringing together a larger group of field leaders from around the world to give thought and prayer to the overall direction of our work. So that referred to the fourth of the five elements in our global strategy, namely the direction in which we're headed just internationally. Now, I'm aware that there are many implications at other levels of the organization that are implied by these three changes that I've mentioned, but I will not go into that now. Okay. Now, remembering that we're now organizing the world in terms of USA ministries versus international ministries, I'd like you to look at this chart, which is part of the rationale for so doing. This takes those two columns, the USA and the rest of the world, and it says, let's look at six key ingredients in what the navigators are all about. Our staff, our missionaries, our laborers, the places we are, our gift income and our expenses. And for each of them, it just is a simple statement. Let's take nav staff. 57% of our staff around the world are in the USA. The balance, 43%, are overseas. So that's what the first part of the chart says. Let's take another one, gift income. 76% of our gift income comes from the USA. The balance of 24% currently comes from the rest of the world. Now notice with new laborers and with ministry locations how close the balance is. And since our primary aim is new laborers, and since our primary way of doing that is to dispose ourselves in ministry locations, structurally it makes great sense to have one man in charge of the USA and one man in charge of what is almost becoming the other half of the Navigator work, namely the other 35 countries outside. So those percentages show the balance between our US ministry and the rest of our ministry. Okay. Now I'd like to get into the international ministries, that is the right-hand column, and give you briefly a little more of an update on where we've progressed during the decade of the 1970s, which was we recently concluded. And this chart shows that in terms of new laborers, our primary aim, outside the USA, we believe that we had 112 in 1970, and we had 443 reported in 1980. So a growth, compound growth, of 15% per year in the raising up of laborers from the ministries outside the USA during the last 10 years. The percentages, the 443, for example, means that, as you saw in the previous chart, 46% of our laborers last year were non-Americans, our new laborers, 30% 10 years ago. Okay, so that demonstrates actual and relative growth in the non-American ministries, which is what I'm majoring on in this presentation. And then looking at the other item that I mentioned, ministry locations. This is an expansion of the statement on the blue sheet that we now have these number of ministry locations, 226 geographical places outside the USA where the NAVs have ministries. And you'll see that 30% of those in the right-hand column are community, 69% student, and 1%, or rather less than 1%, military. There is one military non-American location, and that's the military ministry in Singapore. There used to be two, and I'm not quite sure what happened. But there's now one. Our locations where we are growing at about 10% per year. Okay. Now, we're going to look at those 35 countries where the Navigators have a ministry outside the USA. I want to structure this part of the presentation in terms of a particular way of looking at our ministries outside the USA. Namely, in terms of five stages in the Navigator ministry. These five stages represent a progressive maturity, starting with countries in what I call the investment stage, like, for example, Hong Kong, where we just entered in last August, and where basically our staff are locating houses to live in, getting adjusted to the situation there, and just beginning to invest themselves in that ministry, right through to the established countries, which, as I said, I will explain later. And we're going to handle these five stages in terms of our primary aim. I just am keeping harping on this to give a continuity through the presentation. Now, these five stages, this is my idea, my proposal. I've shared it with the international leadership team. I haven't got a particular yes or a particular no, but I find it useful, and I hope that you will too. I want to look at our ministries overseas in terms of their average production of new laborers per year. It's somewhat artificial, but it does relate to our aim. So my definition of the investment stage ministries is that that's what they are. They're still investing, and there's been no fruit yet in terms of the aim. And then in the beginning stage, after several years, perhaps as early as the end of the first missionary term, we enter a stage where we are producing just a few laborers each year, just a trickle. As Bo illustrated just now, it takes a long time in many overseas countries to raise up our first laborers, a long, long time. Then we have the developing stage, somewhere between, shall we say, 5 and 14 new laborers a year. Typically, a country in this stage has strong local roots. There will be national staff already on the scene. They will be supported largely by national gift income. There will probably be a local board of directors. And the country is developing in several directions along lines which we, in our planning, have predicted and are working on. And then the maturing stage. These are very productive countries. They're producing more than 15 new laborers a year. And yet, there is some dimension, perhaps, maybe they're overly dependent still on foreign missionaries or foreign money. Maybe there's some other aspect of the ministry which means that we can't yet say that they're established. And then finally, the 5 established countries which produce at least 15 laborers a year and meet the profile which I shall be sharing with you. Okay, we're going to look at which countries we have in each stage and say something about them. First, the investment stage. There are 6 countries in the Navigator world that are still in this earliest of all stages. And they break down, I think, into 4 types. Very simply, the first type are the countries such as Hong Kong, where we've just begun. We don't yet expect any laborers. We're in the business of getting acclimatized. We only recently entered the country. Secondly, here we have countries such as Argentina and Venezuela, where we have been for some years, but the soil is extremely hard. Satan is very active, and there's been a lot of resistance to the sowing of the gospel and to our ministry in that particular country. In Argentina, for example, you might care to note that as a prayer request. There's been tremendous harassment by the authorities of our missionaries and of many other missionaries there. Harassment with physical, emotional, psychological. A couple of months ago, Fernando Gonzalez, who is our country leader in Argentina, received a back tax request from the government for $5,000. And this went right back in terms of taxes, which they said he should have paid through to 1974. He produced a great deal of documentation to back up why he had paid the taxes he had. But the government, who are in authority and know it, decided they wanted the money anyway. And so the $5,000 has had to go down and has been given to the government. And it's a very depressing situation. But that's just one dimension of the sort of difficulty that we've experienced in opposition and harassment in Argentina. Another type of country on here is Lebanon, and we have with us tonight Kurt and Marcia Rhodes, Midwest missionaries in Lebanon, a country which we've been in, as you know, for many years, and during the war from 1975 to 1977, we withdrew from Lebanon, and God used that time to give to Bob Vedano and to his team a conviction that when we went back, we should minister not to the nominal Maronite Christians, who had been our target before, but to the Muslims, to what Bob in his literature calls the focus people. And since then, we have been pioneering, as you know, a ministry among Muslims in Lebanon and elsewhere in the Middle East. Last year, our first Muslim converts became Navigator profile disciples. That's a tremendous milestone for which we praise God. And then lastly, Costa Rica. Different type of situation. We've been in Costa Rica for many years, but during the 1970s, we have never committed to that country adequate resources to sustain and multiply a ministry. We reversed that lack approximately a year ago by appointing Tom Sanchez as the country leader for Costa Rica, and now we at last have a ministry leader and the ability to put in the resources that that country merits. So these are countries in the investment stage, no laborers yet. Now, I don't want to leave the impression with you that the objective here is I'll put it this way. I don't want to leave the impression with you that countries in this stage are somehow relative failures and countries in the established stage are relative successes. That is why I've gone into some detail in giving reasons why these countries are where they are. And there is much more background, of course, as you appreciate, on that. So this is not a sort of scorecard whereby these are the countries that are somehow not yet proving their worth. These are countries, however, for which we should be praying, because it's always hard, as you know, to begin a ministry. Okay. The beginnings of spiritual multiplication take place in a country. Laborers are raised up, and these beginning countries are countries where the navigator ministry is currently averaging somewhere between 1 and 4 new laborers per year. Notice it's a larger group of countries. Why so? It's a larger group because we had a tremendous geographical expansion in the first 5 years of the 1970s. Scotty's global strategy in 1972 and some other factors contributed to this, and we pushed out into many new locations and countries faster than we found we could sustain. And this large group of countries are the fruits, many of them, of, we entered them in the early 1970s during that push. In these countries, adjustments have been made, languages have been learned, equipping is going on. A word on a few of them here. Well, let me first say that we've got Midwest missionaries in France. Don Minde is here today. And in Ghana, Linda Dunn. And in Kenya, shortly to go out there, Carrie Sidnor is also here. And then we also have Midwest missionaries, but no one here, in Jordan, Mexico, and Austria. So many of these countries contain your people. Denmark is a special case. We withdrew from Denmark because of the hardness of the soil in 1971, and we did not go back there again with staff until 1978. But during those intervening 7 years, the ministry multiplied. Very odd. And during the whole of that time, an area rep and a woman's rep were supported by Danish money and our Danish nationals over Tingard and Metabolica. And so the country not only sustained some form of ministry, but continued to finance foreign missionary representatives. Anyway, we're back there again now. And our prayer request for Denmark, the country leader, a Dutchman, Dowie Semmelink, he is currently appealing a governmental decision that he should leave the country within the next 3 months. The Danish government is, in post-Christian Europe, is not very favorable to foreign missionaries coming in, and they wish to get our foreign missionaries, including this Dutchman Dowie, out as soon as possible. We need to pray, as we are in Indonesia and other places, that he would get a visa to be able to stay in Denmark. South Asia, of course, is this was designed for another audience. South Asia is largely India, and we have a strong ministry in India. We are established already in 2 cities and moving at the moment into a third. The ministry is to both Muslims and Hindus. Well over 100 Hindus have come to Christ in the last 18 months or so. It may be considerably larger than that. Sometimes the information doesn't come out as promptly, and we're very grateful to God for that ministry. Please pray for Warren Myers, who gives wisdom and maturity to our Indian ministry from Singapore, and pray for John Ridgway and the others who are actually there working in secular jobs in Bangalore and Hyderabad. Okay, Austria, of course, that's our Eastern European and ministry. We have many missionaries concentrated in Vienna. You know this, a very strong Midwest contingent, incidentally. Austria and these ministries in Eastern Europe are one of the issues that we're going to have to face when we decide on our geographical priorities. There's a large and enthusiastic team there. They are making disciples, as you know, in Eastern Europe. They have an almost insatiable demand, particularly for ITs. And we don't wish to corral their enthusiasm because it is productive. But there are other places in the world also which have major needs. And so they're very, very difficult decisions. The harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. You know the organization, I think, of the Vienna team and the way in which they use ITs. And just a general comment briefly, more and more, obviously, of our ministry in the 1980s is going to be in what are called closed countries, of which the Austrian ministry is a prototype, and we now have India, we have other countries such as Sri Lanka, Burma, Thailand, and we have the beginnings of a ministry into the communist Chinese mainland. And so this is going to be an increasing segment of our ministries, and we need to pray for all these ministries for security and for creativity. It needs a tremendous amount of creativity to see how to do the ministry in that type of political situation. France, Spain, and Mexico, Roman Catholic ministries with a lot of similarities, also in the beginning stage. Okay? Press on. We move to the developing stage, and we have these countries, six of them again. The Midwest got missionaries in Finland, Japan, Taiwan, and the Philippines. Soil in Japan has been hard for almost every Christian mission operating there, at least in the last 20 years. And the fruit that we have been given by God is precious indeed. Please continue to pray for Bob Boardman and for the Japanese national staff who are leading now most of the local ministries. It's hard going. There was something of a breakthrough in Japan a few months ago when Billy Graham and Leighton Ford were out there, at least in terms of the surprising number of people who came forward in response to the crusade in Japan. And our team there and others are now following up and handling some of the fruit from the Graham crusade. We should be praying still for Finland. In Finland, we have a warm and a buoyant ministry in a cold and a harsh environment. If any of you have ever been to Helsinki, you'll know what I mean. It's a hard place to be. Tom and Nancy Heave are leading the ministry there. Tom, currently, he finished his cancer treatment in December, and there was no sign of any recurrence in the cancer, but I think we ought to continue to pray for him that would be stabilized, and the testimony of the way he handled the cancer has just been remarkable in terms of the growth of the ministry over the last 18 months. Tremendous testimony. Okay, those are the developing countries, and then these larger ministries in the maturing. These have at least 15 spiritual laborers a year on average, some of them many more. We've got Midwest missionaries in Egypt. Ruth Bruckner's here from West Germany. In Indonesia, of course, we've got Bo and Jean Carlson, and Paul and Margaret Hensley will be going there shortly. You heard from Paul this morning. And then we have Midwest missionaries also in Canada. Some of you who have traveled overseas in the Navigator work might be rather surprised to see Egypt there on that list. Yes. We went into Egypt a few years ago with Nabil Jabour and a couple of American couples, Trudy Crawford also, under the auspices of the Presbyterian Synod of the Nile. And Nabil began a work in various segments of society, but one of them was with the Coptic Orthodox Church, which is a significant minority religion in Egypt. Particularly through one young priest there, there is a very powerful disciple-making ministry going on now in Cairo. I think 30 or more new disciple-makers last year came from the ministry of Nabil Jabour and this Coptic father, who is a wonderful evangelical, and incidentally is under tremendous pressure from the Patriarch Shenouda, who is the head of the Coptic Church in Egypt, and is not so enthusiastic in terms of what he sees us doing, or his father doing. Okay, so that's why Egypt is there, a very productive ministry in Cairo, but in many ways, obviously, in physical terms, a hard ministry. Indonesia, you've heard something about. Let me just mention, I think, one other here, South Korea. A couple of weeks ago, I sent to all our staff members, all our Korean staff, a special formal letter from Lorne confirming that they were members of our staff, that they were building up the body of Christ in Korea, and so on and so forth. And we had to do this because the South Korean government at the moment is going through a phase of being somewhat jumpy and somewhat nervous about Christians. I would say, and this is my guess, and I may well be wrong, that when they saw more than 2 million people a night coming to those meetings last August, which you will have read about in Seoul, they began to realize that here was a significant alternative power block in their country, which, if it turned against the ruling regime, could be a major problem. And so our staff are being investigated, asked questions. The government have made a suggestion that Campus Crusade, the Navigators and InterVarsity amalgamate, because it's a lot simpler to have one group, and things of this nature. I think we could comment on that. Okay, so pray for the Korean nationals on our staff there, and just for their relationship with whatever branch of the government they come into contact with. Brazil is an unusual ministry. I commend to you Jim Peterson's new book on evangelism as a lifestyle. It sets out beautifully the philosophy that I've seen in that ministry in Brazil, that he and Ken Lottis started, a ministry to the secularized and a ministry which is very foundational and very biblical. So it's a very interesting ministry that we have there in Brazil, many Brazilian staff now. So those are the maturing countries. And then lastly, these five established countries. The Midwest has missionaries in Australia, in Britain, actually that's Gary Dean, we should say Emma headquarters in Britain, and New Zealand, and in Singapore, Doug and Priscilla Sparks will be going out there soon. These five countries, remember there are 35 countries that the Navigators have staff in outside the USA, 35. These five produce 44% of the new laborers outside the USA and 55% of the gift income outside the USA. That's why they're so strategic, that and other reasons. And they are vital. And these countries meet this profile. Now, this is something that Doug Sparks and I put together a couple of years ago, and I want to stress that this has not formally been adopted by Lorne, but at least he has not so far objected to my sharing it. The profile of an established country, I'm sorry that it's a little small. There are three things that we feel should be built into such a country. A ministry should be biblically rooted, should be culturally relevant, and should be continuously effective in terms of our primary aim. All three, all the time. And then, to put some flesh on that, the criteria for assessing whether those things are happening or not are the five criteria that you see listed there. Multiplying laborers, producing navigator representatives, a strong and self-renewing leadership team. Not a strong leadership team which is made up solely of missionaries, but self-renewing, internally renewing, very important. And a ministry which is behaving itself in terms of its international liaison, to paraphrase number four. And number five, that it is itself sending. It is actively investing men and women, money, in our global mission. And these five countries are doing that. And then lastly, the crunch. If we have a situation like in South Korea that deteriorates and we have to bring the American missionaries out or the foreign missionaries in general, would that country not only survive but continue to multiply? And we believe that that is so in these countries. The reason, for example, that Canada is not on this list, although the Canadian ministry is very strong, is that there probably is still a little premature if we were to pull all the American missionaries out of Canada, there would be quite a significant leveling off and hesitation, I think, in the Canadian ministry. So, just briefly, that's the way in which we define an established country. Okay, so.
Would you mind explaining
your paraphrase again, number four? Yes, number four. It is interacting and cooperating well with the international leadership of the navigators. Now, we are a global team. And as a global team, we are not, if you like, an American multinational with branches overseas. Still less are we a sort of United Nations majority vote type of arrangement. We are looking to build up countries which not only make a contribution to the worldwide navigators in terms of men and money, but through their cooperation, through their prayers, through their support in every dimension, just, you know, are one with us. And we've found in the past, and I wouldn't wish to mention any countries at this time, there are countries which send out missionaries, but who have a very distinctive and particular view of what they're trying to do, which doesn't necessarily mesh with what the rest of the leadership team around the world have on their hearts. They're multiplying laborers, but we're looking for an extra dimension here of unity. Not uniformity, but unity. Never uniformity. I'm sure you understand. Principles are biblical, forms and methods are and should be different country by country, ever since Genesis 11. God invented the multiplicity of languages. God broke us up, and ever since then our forms and methods are very different. Nate, does that speak something on that? Thanks for the question. Oh, thank you. We're nearly finished. You'll be pleased to know. I'll just show you one more slide, a summary of our overseas mission at the moment. During the last year, for which we have central details or statistics, we received for staff missionaries, not missionary associates, and I'm talking here of all nationalities, not just American missionaries, but we received requests for 130 new staff missionaries. And we were able to supply 55. And so you see a very significant gap there, although we worked as hard as we could, between supply and demand. Yes? Okay, two things. One, it does not include wives, and very often, like on the blue sheet of paper, we can and should include wives, but I haven't here. So these are requests that don't include wives. And secondly, they do include every type of staff, representatives, contact staff, ITs, and support staff. Those four categories. Okay? And we ended the year having sent out 55 new missionaries with a total of 340, which again is on the blue handout, 340 staff missionaries. And the income that went to support these 340 from one country to another country was somewhat over $5 million. A very significant amount of money. Okay, what I have tried to do here in the presentation is to build it around the primary aim of the navigators, namely the multiplication of laborers, and to talk about the situation outside the USA, which generally you're less familiar with, and to use a staging of our ministries in terms of those five stages so that you can see how the work of multiplying laborers is being carried on by your brothers and sisters around the world. And then, in conclusion, because this is basically the purpose of the presentation, I hope that you've picked up some prayer needs as we've gone along. God has laid two or three things on your heart. And I have also, on this last handout here, put down, if you care to look at it, some particular, what I think are strategic prayer needs for us at this time. We need to pray for these eight strategic imperatives that you also have in the third page here. Lorne has talked about them in the Dear Staff letter. You're aware of what they are. I think it is clear to you why they are essentials, why they are imperatives. And just to say one thing here, we were thrilled in December when we collected from all the countries in the world which have a ministry their plans for the next year to 3 years to see how each country had taken these imperatives and built their own objectives. I think we are past the stage of centralized numerical objectives, and I praise God for that. We see the objectives that undergird these imperatives being implemented in various ways in various countries. And I put down here that we should pray for our missionaries, the 340. We should pray particularly for the countries where the ministry is just beginning or is small or is struggling. There are 99 Midwest missionaries, you know, listed in your conference booklet. And these are some of the things, and there are others, of course, that we should be praying for them. Money. We've said almost nothing about money. The budget of the navigators This year is $29 million, and it's continuing to rise at 16-17% per year. A lot of that, of course, is inflation. Missionary budgets are going up in the last year faster than home budgets. We need to find creative solutions to the financial situation we face. And then some other prayer requests here. Let me just mention, I think you're familiar in terms of prayer with Operation World. Many of you have used this. It's excellent. I've been corresponding with the editor, Patrick Johnson, encouraging him gently to give a little more prominence to the Navigators in the second edition, and he has promised so to do. It's not for our glory, but I want to be prayed. I want us to be prayed for. And so this is excellent. The Global Atlas for Prayer, you should all have received, those of you who ordered it. And this is another way of working around the world this year and praying for the ministries that I've been talking about. You're also familiar with this. Many of you, I imagine, are distributing it on campuses. This is put out as a cooperative venture by us and Campus Crusade and InterVarsity and some other organizations in the USA. It's a very good prayer calendar. We will soon be sending out to most of our staff in the USA and around the world, monthly, the church around the world. Some of you use this thing. It gives a wider view of what is going on than just the Navigators, and it's good material for prayer. We are beginning to distribute this in a few months' time. And then there are many other materials. I just want to pay tribute to the beautiful thing that Paul Hensley and Carrie Sidner did. Many of you have seen Breakthrough, Middle East Prayer Calendar, which came out this month, for those of you who are interested in that ministry. There's a multiplicity of materials, and God wants us to get on our knees and claim these promises. So thank you for listening. I appreciate it. I've gone over time a bit. You're a very good audience, and I hope that I've given you some information that is useful for your prayers. Thank you.